What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl Deshari. Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective podcast, the show dedicated to uncovering different perspectives through dope conversation. Today, we have a special guest. She is the definition of it's the God in me. She's taking charge of the position God is placing her in. She is a poet, writer, and speaker, and she's delving into her coaching and mentoring bag as well. She's educated with a master's in adult higher education. She's the founder of United Ladies Co., a woman's discipleship ministry. I like to say that I've been watching this woman from afar, and the woman of God she is makes you want to be better with the relationship that you have with God. If that wasn't enough, she is an all-around creative, TEDx OKC performer, but most importantly, she is newly a whole wife. You may know her as the Lady Deanne. Please welcome Miss Deanne Carter. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I am well. Listen, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Okay, so I want to start off with That's My Jam. This is a segment of the show where you can play a mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what you got for us?
Okay, so recently I've been on this artist called Hulvey, H-U-L-V-E-Y. He's super amazing. He's a man of God. And so he has a song called Used By You that I'm going to play today.
Okay. So, well, let's get into it.
When I look at my son, it's bringing me joy. The way that you looking at me made me feel like I won the award. Feel your breath when they press and record. In the booth, we just don't want to cut. With these verses, I'm going to war.
Yo, that is a dope jam. Okay, so it's giving me like a bop. Made me want to rock. Made me want to dougie a little bit. Why'd you choose that as your jam?
Okay, so I think as of right now, I'm in a season of just choosing to be obedient. Like, I don't know what God may call me to do. I don't know where he may call me to go, but I want to be used by him. And so this song is a reminder to me personally, is like, man, I just want to be used by my father. I don't want to look to anyone or anything to tell me what I can or cannot do, but to be in direct alignment with Jesus. And so that's why I picked it. It's convicting for me. Personally.
Wow. Let me go ahead and add myself to the frame. The whole time I ain't been added to the frame. LOL. Okay, so for the people who don't know you, who is Deanne?
Okay. Wow. I feel like that question is like, it's a lot in a way. But Deanne is the son. Forgive me. Deanne is the daughter. Let's go all the way back. Deanne is the daughter of literally Max and Viola Brody Menz. They came from Ghana in West Africa. And so I feel like my whole life has just been me, like, really just accepting my identity as, like, being, like, coming from African descent in a way. And then outside of being African and then also living in America, I have learned a lot about, like, just being a woman of God. And I have so many different hats, a lot of different mantles on my life. And so not only do I speak and do spoken word, but I also have a community of women that I lead called United Ladies Co., which I love very much. And so I'm really big on, like, biblical literacy and, like, teaching people the Bible, how to have a relationship with Christ, like how to have a real relationship with him, not just one that we just say that we go to church and do. I also style people. So I love clothes. I love fashion. And so I get to do that as well. Let's see. So I said, poetry, speaking, of course, United Ladies Co., the styling, and then also I'm a wife now.
Yes.
Biggest event of my life, biggest event. I'm married to literally to the love of my life, Sydney Carter.
That's amazing.
We got married like 7 months ago, which is wild because I feel like we just got married and it's about to be a year. So and let me see. All those parts kind of make me who I am. I know there's other things that I like to do outside of that, but I feel like in this moment, that is kind of all encompassing of who I am at this moment. So,
Got it. That is amazing. Well, you know, you're talking about learning about God and, you know, developing your faith. I feel like this is a heavy question to ask, but take me through the first time you became aware of God or Jesus, not an experience that someone told you about God, but you actually experiencing him yourself.
Okay.
Or being aware of him.
Okay. This is honestly like my favorite story in life because so growing up, I grew up with two parents that did ministry. So my dad was an assistant pastor. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. And so I felt like I was like a pew baby, like always in church, always, you know, just being in church. But I felt like I didn't have a real relationship with him until I got to college for real. So
okay.
I always describe my relationship as like studying God from a history book. Like we know about George Washington, we know what he did, but we don't really know him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, that's how I had my relationship with the Lord. I was like, yeah, I hear about you. Yeah, they falling on the floor, they singing about you, but who are you? You know,
right,
honestly.
Right.
So I went to Southern Nazarene University. I'm in Bethany, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And it was my freshman year. And I was away, 30 minutes away, but I was away. And I was in school and I met this guy and I had all of these friends. And I just was like trying to live a life outside of God. I wanted uh-huh. to do my own thing. I didn't really care. All those type of things. And I remember one of my really good friends, Will Bigsby, he told me, he said, hey, there's like this prophet coming to a church and I really love him. Let's go see him.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay. So I remember skipping my lab, going with the man that I liked at the time and all my friends, we go to church. And I walk into the church and the church is called the Net Church, formerly known as the Net Church uh-huh. under Pastor Tubb. And we walk in and for the first time in my life, I was like, wow, there are people who look like me. I'm 18 years old and they're like really worshiping. They're uh-huh. really praising God. And I've known God for about 18 years and I don't know that God.
Yeah.
So what God are they? You know? And so I'm a part of the service and we got there at 7. We literally didn't leave there till like 12, like midnight.
Uh-huh.
And during the service, it was like a revival. The prophet Todd Hall, he was like prophesying to people and telling them their lives, like things that like no one would know but them.
Right.
And I remember the Holy Spirit like encountering me in such a way that radically changed my life. Like I remember going to like one of the walls of the church, then I was on my knees and I was crying. I said, God, I don't want to ever live my life the same way ever again. Like mm-hmm. I want to follow you, I want to honor you. And in that moment, I can truly say that my life was kind of like completely changed. Like I was inviting people at my college to come to church. I was involved in everything that they had going on, whether I was a greeter or on the praise team or whatever. I just wanted to be in the presence of God.
Wow.
And when I left, I literally left changed. Like, yeah, nothing around me may have looked different, but I knew that internally my life had shifted.
Wow.
And it's been a journey ever since. But yeah, 18 years old, a freshman in college. So
wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like so layered in a way because being 18, I'm 23 right now, so I feel like I am not that far removed from 18, but being 18, it's different. I feel a little seasoned saying this, like being in your teens and then going into your 20s is like something different. So like having that experience and having a time where you spent like, you said almost till midnight, you know, at a church, how did that impact you? Were you always like a person who didn't mind committing your time to things that, you know, felt good? Or it was like, oh, this is a lot, but you know, I'm enjoying being you know, in the mm-hmm. presence of God?
Well, I think just like culturally, like for Africans, like they love God, they go pray heaven down for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
So I think like that upbringing and knowing that my mom is going to pray for a while, like it kind of sat with me.
Okay.
So like that didn't feel unfamiliar. I think what was impactful was it didn't feel like 5 hours had gone by.
Wow.
Like I had felt like it was an hour, because that's honestly, to be honest, I feel like that's how the presence of God feels. It's like you don't want to move past what's happening. Like you want to stay connected to what he's doing in you, what he's saying, what's happening around other people around you. And it changes the way that you view like life, like perspective podcast, change your perspective.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what it did for me personally. Yeah.
That is so amazing. Yep. So finding your new identity in God, how did you like, so you said you didn't feel like something changed in that moment, but you knew something changed internally. How did you begin to find your new identity in God?
Wow. You know what? I feel like a lot of times when we talk about like, how do we find ourselves or like our new identity? Mm-hmm. Like we think this happens overnight. Like,
right.
It's been a process since even like, since 18 to then, like till now. I went through pain to get to even this. Like, I remember, just to be vulnerable in the moment, it's like when I was at that age, like, I really didn't know myself. Like, I dealt with a lot of rejection prior to me even coming to college. And so, and I also was like in Christian schools and things like that. And so it always starts with a guy, right? Like, you end up meeting somebody and your life starts to be like attached to their identity.
Right.
And what they say about you or how they view you. And so in that moment, the guy that I liked at the time, like I wanted to be seen by him and I want him to like me. And even though he did like me, I wanted to like, let's be good forever, you know?
Right.
Once my life changed internally, I recognized that, man, I couldn't be attached to anything but the Lord. And so he started to shift things in my life. So like, I started going through things. Like I had to let go of the guy. I had to realize that these friends aren't for me. Like I had to recognize that, hey, I need to spend time with the Lord more than I'm even with these people, you know?
Wow.
And so that really showed me what my identity was. And so I always tell people this, that if you want to find your identity, you literally have to go to God. But even more so, you'll find yourself in the scriptures, because he tells us who we are.
Yeah.
Like he tells us that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. Like he shows us that we're co-heirs. Like he tells us that we can come boldly to his throne. And if you don't read and you don't spend that time,
man,
everything else in your life will identify you and put a label on you.
You better speak.
You'll be, what'd you say?
I say you better speak.
Yeah, right. It's like everything will label you instead of what he calls you to be. And so I had to go through in my years of just feeling like betrayed and lied and jealousy and even feeling like, who am I?
Yeah.
The Lord brought community, the church I was in for sure, the people around me to affirm what God had already said.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I really think that the scripture and then pain, like just inevitably your lived experiences will start to uncover and reveal like who you really are. Because like when you're tested, you'll see what you're really made of. And so I had to go through that to get to know who I was.
Ooh, sure. That is so good. I totally understand that, because you, when you're new in finding who God is to you, you start to kind of look at different things and try to pinpoint like, okay, they're doing something that I like, you know, but honestly and truly, getting into the word for yourself, developing what you and God has for yourself is what is going to propel you in your journey and your connection with God ultimately. So I love that you said that. You were speaking about being obedient earlier, but I have a question. Obedience is a huge deal when dealing with what God has asked you to do over being completely comfortable or rather sure that you can get it done, right? What is something you are working through being obedient with right now?
Okay. Wow. For me personally, I think, 4 years ago, I got fired from a job. Wow. And the Lord had told me that that was not that that was going to happen, but that something was going to happen.
Okay.
And so sometimes I can be comfortable in a space because of what has been presented to me about security. Wow. So a lot of times we feel like, wow, this job is secure. I'm going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that I'm good, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the life that God has called me to live is a life of faith. And so, like, after I got fired, I have not worked a conventional job for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I'm working currently on being obedient in is, like, when God tells me to do something, just to do it, like, quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Not wait, not I don't know, but do it now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's where I'm at right now, because not that I need him to make things make sense to me. I feel like I've kind of graduated out of that.
Uh-huh.
But I think I'm at a place where he's like, I'm the one who said it. I don't want you to worry about how it's going to get done.
Right.
It's just going to get done. And so as far as my purpose goes, as far as, like, you know, content and speaking and putting myself out there in these different areas, you mentioned me getting into, like, a mentoring coaching bag.
Yeah.
That was something that I was really holding on to. Like, I was like, no one's really going to want to do this with me, yeah, for real. Like, why would you ask me to do that? And God would bring people and confirm it and remind me until this past week I was with one of my best friends and I was just like, I just need to do it.
Yeah.
I just need to put it out there. And the response has been overwhelming on how, like, man, you're supposed to do this or you're called to do this. And the whole time the Lord's like, I told you to do this probably a long time ago, but I want you to listen to me quicker. So that's where I'm at, being obedient to purpose for sure.
That is, oh my goodness. I just feel like you're hitting so many good points. Like, not when you feel ready, but right now. Like,
yeah,
it's always the gear up or the let me get in preparation. But if God didn't feel like you were ready for it right now, he wouldn't have given you the vision, the outlook, the forethought, the know-how to do it right now. So
sure.
I think that is so good. So you made a post the other day that I thought was so good about temptation. Most people think that temptation is what we can see, like food, TV, alcohol.
Yes.
But there's internal things that can cause temptation. With that being said, you stated that you had been tempted with stress. And this is my follow-up question because of obedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That stress could make you feel like you could stop your progression or overall see the full circle thing that is happening in your life. How do you overcome the temptation of stress?
Okay. Wow. Okay. So this is something I'm thankful that you asked this question because I'm, like, currently walking it out.
Uh-huh.
But scripture literally tells us, like, do not be anxious for anything.
Yes.
But in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God.
Mm-hmm.
So which means that if he's telling us not to be anxious, then that means that when stress comes knocking on my door, I can say, stress, I don't invite you.
Uh-huh.
I invite the peace of God. I come into agreement with peace. And so for me, that's something that, like, I have to actively work on because life is happening. Things are going on. You know, you got to do laundry.
Yeah.
You with your husband. You got to go here. All of these things. And for me, the Lord has been like, okay, take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So my place has been, like, the shower.
Okay.
And I go in. I'll be praying, going in, praying to the Lord. Father, to just help me to stay regulated for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, man, I need to read this verse. I need to meditate on it before I do this next thing. Yesterday. So yesterday, my husband was in the house and he was, like, worshiping, like playing worship music.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the room and I was, like, on the computer, like, about to start some work. And I, like, the stress just, like, overcame me. And he walked into the room and he could tell that I was, like, feeling disabled by the moment.
Yeah.
And he came in and he was like, we're going to stop and we're going to worship. That's
mm-hmm.
what we're going to do. So he played the music, closed my laptop, and made me get into this worship mode. And I was resistant at first,
mm-hmm.
but as I started to put God above the issue, all of that started to fade away.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would even like encourage people, like, God has given us weapons. Worship is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Spending time with God is a weapon.
Yes.
Calling a trusted friend or someone you know who, or like, for instance, like my husband was for me in that moment to get me to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get done. Don't get overwhelmed. Everything will be fine at the end of the day. And so that's how I'm working through that, because you will be tempted with that.
Yeah.
To literally live a stressed life, mm-hmm, when God does not want us to do that. And the enemy does that to us because he wants us to not be able to be aware of what's going on, like at work or with your family. And you won't be able, like I said in that post, to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Because you're just so focused on you and what's going on in that moment. So
yeah. And the enemy likes to use things that he knows that will get you in a whole bind, you know? And sometimes you feel bad for being stressed, you know, like, you know, things are happening, you know, you have a lot on your plate. And so it could be something that is like, okay, this is something that is happening from the things that are going on in my life. But then after you get done stressing, you stress that you stressed.
Yes. Exactly.
I kind of looked at the moment that you and your husband had, for the people that, you know, tune in to Grey's Anatomy, how Meredith and Christina would, you know, do those dance breaks. For the people who, you know, like I said, tune into Grey's Anatomy, but in worship mode, I think that is so awesome that, you know, he is that person for you. And we're going to get into talking about how to get a husband in a minute. But before that, because we need the tea.
Right.
How are you able to understand the season that you're in whenever you're going through something?
Okay.
Or if you're not going through something.
Okay, so how to be able to discern, like, the season that you're in?
Yes.
I'm telling you, like, relationship with the Lord, like, I know a lot of times we, like, hear that, like, hey, our relationship. Mm-hmm. No, but, like, when you're walking with someone, you're able to see what's going on, mm-hmm, and able to see what season that they're in or what they're facing or where they're going, mm-hmm, towards. So I have pivotal voices in my life, mm-hmm, and things that are reoccurring. So currently, like, let's just say, so the season of like mentoring and coaching is something that like I'm entering in.
Right.
Right. But I had to be in a place to hear that that's even what's about to take place.
Wow.
And to also see where he's shifting with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so one, in prayer, when I silence myself, I tell my girls all the time that like a relationship is two ways.
Yes, it is.
It's not me just praying to God and that's it. It's I'm talking to him and I quiet myself enough to hear what he has to say.
Ooh.
So that I know what's going on. I can't just be like, okay, thank you for this day, bye.
Yes.
And sometimes those things happen, right? Like we wake up, we tell God thank you, and we keep it pushing. But I need to wait. I need to quiet myself enough to hear what he has to say about what's going on. And then it'll get confirmed everywhere. Like I'm not even telling you, like I'll read something and then I'll hear about it at church and I'll hear about it in a conversation.
Yes.
And then it'll just boom, boom, boom. My pastor will be like, that's what you need to be doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
And so that's how honestly like you'll be able to discern the season that you're in. Especially if you're unaware of what's going on, like God will bring you community, the right voices, people in your life, and his word, but you have to quiet yourself enough,
ooh,
to hear.
Yes.
Or you're not gonna know.
That is a whole bar. Quiet yourself enough to be able to hear and understand what's being said. Because I think sometimes we can hear, you know, things that are being said, but can we hear what God is saying? Quieting yourself enough to know what season of life you're in, whether that is, you know, for you coaching or for me podcasting or something more intentional. I'm not saying that this is not intentional, but something more like personal, like spiritual wise or mentally, what season you're in. So I feel like we are living in a lukewarm society where being Christian is cool and hip, but not to the extent of dying to your flesh enough to give up the things of which are in the world. So for the women, I think it's like exploitation of our bodies. And for men, it may be disrespecting women or emasculation and things like that. But there are more on both sides that I did not mention. I want to get your perspective on this lukewarm society that we live on and how we can better ourselves. I'm going to include myself in it as well. How we can better ourselves.
Okay, so I think sometimes when we hear like the word lukewarm, mm-hmm. we don't recognize like who it's being directed towards. Like when we put lukewarm on people who don't even submit to God anyway.
Whoa.
So we're like, oh, you're lukewarm. And it's like, you're not even submitted.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't even count you in the number of those things. But for the people that are saying, I want to honor God with my life. You don't want to hurt someone that you love. You don't want to go against someone that you care about. Like, you'll do all that you can. I think about my marriage specifically. If my husband doesn't like something, now, of course, maybe I won't understand it at first. Mm-hmm. But because of my love for him, I want us to be good. I want us to understand each other. I want us to have that type of relationship. And so as far as lukewarm goes, especially when it pertains to women, it's number one question. Do you even want to be submitted to God in the first place?
Ooh.
Do you have a heart for God in the first place? Do you love him in the first place? And once you're able to be honest with yourself and say, I'm actually not. I really don't care what he has to say. I would just rather label myself a Christian and then keep it pushing.
Mm.
But if you're like, no, God, I want to forsake all others and I want to put my attention on you,
mm-hmm.
that'll keep you walking with him.
Because
it's not about do's and don'ts, what you're wearing, all that stuff. Those are just byproducts of what's really going on internally.
Come on.
And so if you can look within and ask, Father, like, I want to follow you, show me how, I'm telling you, your life will shift. You won't even have to think about what I'm wearing or what I'm doing, because he will convict you. He'll tell you, we're not going there today, sweetie. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You need to let that friend go.
Yes.
Or you can't date him because I love you this much that this is not my best for you. You see what I'm saying? And so I think the lukewarm passage is sometimes used out of context, but more so scripture, I believe it's in John, it says that, like, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments.
Come on.
And so it comes down to, do you really love him in the first place? So that's my thing on that.
That is, guys, I pray that you are truly and intentionally listening to what she's saying. Do you love God in the first place to even consider yourself lukewarm? Let's start there. Like that was a whole, because I feel like people talk about it all the time and then they start going into this whole spiel. But let's go back to the beginning. Do you even love him in the first place to even give him an ounce of respect, to have respect for yourself and the journey that you will have with him? I know I included. Go ahead.
No, because I was just going to say that the Lord either wants you to be for him or against him.
Right.
Like, it's not about the image. It's like if, let's say we're really, really good friends and I only come to you to ask you for something when I need it.
You're
not going to like me.
Speak.
After, like, you're not. He's just saying, follow me or don't follow me.
Yes.
Either way, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I would rather you choose.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so a lot of us, we want to just, like, get around the fence and he's just like, baby, do you want Chick-fil-A or do you want Arby's? What do you want? Say what you're saying.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. I know I included myself on that in the first place, but Lord, I want you publicly, I choose you.
Yeah.
That is so good. Do you want Chick-fil-A or what do you want?
Do you want me?
Yes. And I just feel like that goes into being indecisive. Like, I feel like a lot of us can overthink simple things. Like, how... you're so good. I'm gonna move on, because let's just go back to the beginning. Do you love God enough? to be lukewarm in the first place. Just go there. Right. If you can say yes or no to that question and be secure in that, then we can move forward. But just focus on that part first.
Yeah, right. Because he already loved us. Yes. Like, he already chose us. Yeah. So it's really us that is playing games. It's like, yeah, oh, I don't want to be with you. But now I want to be with you.
You love God in the first place to even be lukewarm is the end all be all. Okay?
Yeah.
All pastors, you know, quote Deanne on that and ask the people first. When you're teaching about lukewarm, quote Deanne and say, do you love a God? Do you love God enough first? I'm sorry, I have to keep repeating it because I feel like that is so important. Like, I hear about this all the time. Like, the society we live in a world that is really crazy right now. I feel like we're at the peak of craziness. We're at the peak of craziness. But yeah, ask yourself, do you love him enough? Okay, so for the women of God, we need the 411, the info, the all the tea about how to get a husband. And before you answer it, please, I want you to be transparent with me. This is a safe space. And I'm being a little selfish because I know my listeners need this insight. But as a woman of God, I would like to know. Inquiring minds would like to know.
Okay, so I think how to get a husband is like really like a kind of like a broad question in a way.
It is.
Which is great because I can go so many different places, but I think it's less on like how do you get a husband because, and I'll say this, I think even for myself, I was presented with the idea that I was less of a person if I didn't have a man.
Yeah.
Or didn't have a husband. Like, having a husband was the end all be all, and now I've made it. At the pinnacle of life, I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want any of the listeners or anybody to take away from this. I think it's more so, has God called you to be with said person? Has God given you the desire to be married? Because I hate to say this, but not everyone will be married in this life.
Wow. But I also want to add this, because I think I approached this question wrong. How does a man find a woman? Let me say that first. How does a man find a wife? Yeah. Okay. But also you being prepared, like you said, as a woman, being prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. So the question, like, how does a man find a woman? I think, okay, so just from a woman's perspective, like, I think my mindset always goes back to, do you know who you are?
Right.
We talked about like, my identity, right? And how did I figure out my identity and all of these things? I allowed people to define what my identity was. And so that fueled the relationships that I would go for, that I would seek after, because I didn't want to be rejected. I wanted to hold on to something.
Right.
And so when you think about a woman currently, it's like you look around and you see, wow, she has this person and she has that and this. And so out of desperation, you settle. Out of desperation, you take the bare minimum because you don't know who you are.
Mm.
And so we go all the way back to, as we're studying like scripture, like, okay, so Colossians 3 talks about like that your real life is hidden in Christ. Wow. And so if you go and search scripture and find out who you are, God will literally tell you from the position of you are loved. You are seen. I protect you. I see you. Once he has affirmed you,
right,
you can be choosy now.
Yes.
You can make decisions now because it's not the guys telling you, oh, you know, you bad. So, oh, I'm bad. So now I can be with. No, it's like, God, is this the man for me? God, is this the person that you've called me to be with? Like, am I supposed to be with them? Because there's a lot there. I mean, not a lot. Sorry. But there is some great guys.
Yeah.
Not all of them. There are some great guys.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to have the discernment and the wisdom to know if that's even the man that you're supposed to be doing life with for real.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that from the perspective of like even me and Sid. When me and Sid have been friends for like at that time, 8 years. Seven, 8 years.
Wow.
We've been friends for 7 years.
Yes, friendship.
And Right. That is very important to be friends with the person that you're with. Like, I will definitely talk about that. But being friends with him. Please. So I've seen him in every stage of his life. I've known how he really, really is. But the Lord put a desire in my spirit of attraction to him. Mm. And was he ready for us to date then? No. Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
Okay.
And so I say that to say, you have to really have a relationship with the Lord, or you're going to do something prematurely or not do it in right timing.
Wow.
So to say, like, hey, like, how does a woman, yes, you need to be prepared, but I really believe that you need to have a relationship with Christ. Yes. You need to know who you are. You need to like yourself so that when you are presented to that man or that man comes, you have the discernment to see if this is right now or this is later.
Wow.
Then the second thing that I would say also is more so like, yes, pray. Definitely be praying. But you need to have a community of people that can speak into the areas like your blinders, like your blind spots.
Wow.
So for me personally, before I dated, I had three people that he had to really go through mm-hmm. for me to even really date him. Because they see me, they know me. I'm all like hype now, and I really want to be in this relationship, but I also understood that I'm dating for marriage. I'm not dating to date. I'm not dating to have fun. I'm dating because it's going to go somewhere. And so I talked to like my mom, my sister Shanice, all these other people, and I said, "If I want you to pray, and if he tells you no, if God tells you no, I'm out." Mm-hmm. And I have to be solid enough to do that. You know what I mean? Or you're going to do whatever you want, and then you're going to be sad at the end of the day. So definitely have the community of people that I could go to, and they could pray, and it could get confirmed. And then also within, I think, like preparation, you want to know what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we as women, like we don't know what we want to do. We don't know what's really going on. We don't know our identity. And so it's easy for us to be connected to a man who also doesn't know what he's called to. He Ooh. Also doesn't know what he's doing, has no vision for his life. And I am submitting to no vision. Like, where are we going?
Come on.
Like, where are we going? And I will say this. There was a book by Heather Lindsay called Pink Lips and Empty Hearts that I recommend everyone to read. But she talks about so many different things about specifically that you need to know what you're called to. Because for me, I know I'm called to ministry. I know I'm called to travel, speak, all of those things. So I can't be with a man that doesn't want to travel. I can't be with a man that only wants to do this thing.
Yeah.
We're always going to be like, our purposes don't align. They don't make sense.
Not equally
like,
yoked. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not equally yoked in that manner. Right. Yeah. Now, the bare minimum, especially if you're a Christian woman, like, he needs to have a prayer life. He needs to read his Bible. He mm-hmm. needs to be saved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another thing that I would also say is that he needs to have an open and willing spirit to change, not someone that's prideful, not someone that is stuck in their ways. He needs to have an open and willing spirit to evolve, to grow, to have the humility to say, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Like, those things
are
matter.
Important.
Like,
yes.
I need to be able to have real conversation. Like, can we communicate? Can you apologize? Are you prideful? Like, no. And then for the women, and I know we don't talk about this, but like, to prepare, you need to also look good. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You may not have everybody's style, but like, you know, have your own style. You know, take a shower, brush your teeth, do your hair.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to wear makeup. Like, it's not you have to wear makeup. Some people don't wear makeup. Some people do. But like, have a good skincare routine.
Yeah.
All those things play a part in you being chosen and you choosing.
Yes.
Because a lot of times we as women, we expect men to have all of these things. Like, he need to work out, and he need to do this, and he need to do that. And we don't do any of that. We're not working out. We don't eat well.
That is so true.
We don't take care of ourselves. We're stressed out. So why would God bring me someone that I'm going to destroy?
Mm. Yes.
Like, no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think there's, what's the other thing that I think is like really significant? I think for the most part, I mean, like, those are the things. But, like, if you're living in what God has called you to do and you're focused on that, mm-hmm. the right man is going to approach you. And for me, I always felt like, and it's true, and I'll tell the story. So when Tim and I were dating, we had gone to this, like, event.
Okay.
And there was this guy that was trying to talk to me prior to me dating Sid. And Sid was walking out of the event, and the guy approached him, because, you know, we don't care. The guy approached him, and he was like, wow, you're dating Deanne? Like, she really loved God for real. Like, she really loved God.
Wow. And what's that supposed to mean?
Right. But the thing was, because people saw me on stages and doing different things, they don't know me, but they mm-hmm. Were intimidated by me. And okay. I think a lot of us women, because we're like, well, I have 2 degrees and I speak, or I'm doing podcasts, or I'm a bold type of woman, that I'm not going to get anyone. So I need to, like, shrink to be with someone. And so for me, I was like, no.
Yeah.
I thought that I needed to do that. But I want to encourage, like, the women listeners, or even the men, like, don't shrink for anybody.
Man.
Like, the right person, like, that's why I love my husband, because, like, he allows me to shine. Like, he's like, go and do that thing, become that thing, grow, I support you, and vice versa. I support his music, I support who he is, I want him to grow, all of those things. And you need to have that, like, you have to be that type of person. And then also, I think communication is key. Mm. If you don't know how to communicate to someone, and especially people like us who use our words often,
right,
you're going to tear someone down if you don't know how to yield your words to the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So learning how to communicate is half the battle.
Mm.
And so sometimes I don't need to say anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just need to go to God first and ask him, God, he did this. Yeah. What I need to do.
Yeah.
I don't need to go and nag and do all that type of stuff. And so I think communication is also a big thing. So I said a lot of stuff, but okay. Hopefully it helped.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes. I have so many things that I want to follow up with. First, who are you first? That's the first thing I want to, you know, dive into. Like,
yeah.
If you have these expectations for these guys, are you also doing that yourself? That was it. Are you working out? Are you eating right? Are you going to sleep on time? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you, you know, are you doing your hair? Are you, you know, are you doing everything that you're expecting the man to do? That's a good point first.
Yeah.
Being led. I think that is so important. I kind of want to dive deep, a little bit more deeper into being led. Like, I don't want to get too much into your business, because I know married life is so much different from dating, and so that's a lot to protect. But how do you feel, you know, being led now? Because in singleness, you can, you know, kind of lead yourself. You can go to God. You can ask him to lead and guide your steps. But now that you have a person that you've become one with, how does it feel to now be also led by him?
Yeah, so this is a hard place to be in, especially when it's been you and God forever.
Right.
For someone to tell you no, or we're not doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, boy, bye. You know, like, that's the first thought that comes out of you. Mm-hmm. And in full transparency, I had a dream. I think it was like second, third month into the marriage. And the Lord told me, he was like, you're going to need him for where you're going. It's not Deanne anymore.
Wow.
It's Deanne and Sid.
Wow.
And I had to, like, go to my husband and tell him, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this yet.
Yeah.
I'm learning, but I know that I need you. And it's not just the Lady Deanne. It's not just Sid Carter. Like, our lives are forging and becoming one. And that's going to take time. Mm-hmm. But I have to be willing to submit what's happening, because my husband's very graceful, very kind, very loving, all of the things. Like, he'll never, like, push me beyond, like, my limits in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that if I'm not careful, my hard-headedness, I'll just go do my own thing, or I'm like, I'm gonna do this, or
yeah,
I'm starting this, instead of consulting and yeah, being like, and it's out of love, not out of domineering or control. It's just like, babe, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And letting him have the room to lead.
That because I think good.
A lot of times we as women, we just want to take over, and we want to do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bye. No, but yeah. Giving your husband, giving the man in your life, like letting him operate in his role fully and not taking that from him has been a labor of love for sure, but it's been rewarding because I am covered. I have covering. I have protection.
Yeah.
God made the order that way so that we can thrive as a family. And so I'm learning that now, like 6 months in, I'm much better at it. But the first couple months, I said, baby, how do you do this?
And how does it feel like, you know, actually living it in real time? I know you're still new in it, but like living it in real time and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of comparing what you thought it would be, like the glamorous side to actually day to day, you know, I have a husband now, you know?
Yeah. So you're asking like how the day to day is?
Yeah. And what you thought beforehand and how it is now, like, how do you feel about the reality of that?
Yeah, so to be honest, I feel like some days it doesn't feel real to me. Like, I feel like I'll look at him every couple of days, I'll be like, we're married. Like,
yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like, we're married. But I had to learn quickly, and I really want to write something about this in particular for the newlywed people, because I feel like, you know, people hear about marriage from like 3, 6, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. but people don't really talk about the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had to die, and I'm still dying to the fact that I'm not my mother. Mm. I'm not the wife that I saw in growing up. Like, wow. My marriage will be different. Wow. Like, Sid and I will lead our lives differently. And so in the beginning, I was like, I'm trying to do all these things. I want to be this perfect wife. I want to do this, do that, do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like killing myself trying to be something that God is like, I'm the wife that I've called you to be. Like, you're going to be the wife that I've called you to be.
Yeah.
Not the wife that you see, not the books that you read.
Yeah.
No, like, your marriage will look different because you're a different wife. You're not your mother.
Yeah.
And that was so painful for me to come to grips with.
Yeah.
I've watched her for years. I've seen what she's done. Like, she's a great wife. She's amazing. And it's like, yeah, but you just started.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
So.
And have you had talks with her about, you know, the beginning? Have you had talks with her about the beginning?
Say it again.
I said, have you talked about the beginning stages for her and her marriage, like how that worked out for her and how you kind of are feeling in a way, and if that kind of is similar?
I have not talked to her about the beginning. Like, wow. I think because I've been trying to figure it out myself.
That's good.
And I think a part of me doesn't want to like be so obsessed that I take something that God is like, we're doing a new thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing that I will say is, because my mom, her occupation is like, she's a registered nurse, she's an RN and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And my life is like entrepreneurship and, you know, speaking and all of those things. And so it's a different life that we both lead as women. You know what I mean? Like, some of the things are the same, but some of the things are different. And so I've had to really just rely on like the Holy Spirit and like women around me for sure. And I still get advice from my mom about different things, and if I'm doing the right thing, I say the right thing, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I've had to learn not to compare my journey to anybody else's journey.
That's
and
good.
even my husband, like, sometimes this is something I feel like women need to hear too, like, your husband may not even put the pressure on you that you feel like you're putting the pressure on for yourself.
Wow.
And that's something that you and God like have to work out. Like, I have to go to God and be like, this pressure didn't come from my husband. It didn't come from anybody, but it's coming from me.
Yeah.
And I need to learn how to just exist and not, like you said, be tempted with stress.
Yeah.
For the title, because I'm still a daughter. I'm still Deanne, like, I'm still me, even though I have another role that I'm having to work out. So
that's good. That is so good. So, okay, we're going to switch gears here. Excuse me. So I had the pleasure, you know, of being a part of the Bible studies that you had with the United Ladies Co., right? What was the the motivation behind United Ladies Co.
Okay, so this ministry is like my heart and soul, but I had a dream 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. At the time, so 2 years, I think it was 2 years prior to that. So it was like 2020 when we started the pandemic in mm-hmm. May. But my cousin had passed from cancer, and oh, so when
I'm he sorry
had
to passed, hear that.
Grad school, thank you. When he had passed, when I was in grad school, I stopped everything. Mm-hmm. And because I had to find out, why was I doing all of this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, why was I doing ministry? Why was I speaking? Why was I doing spoken word? Like, why am I doing that? And it was so difficult because I realized that I had attributed my worth to what I did. Mm. And God had to literally break me down and tell me that even if you don't do another thing, you are my daughter.
Wow.
And so I started to... me and Sid started dating in the pandemic, and I remember we went somewhere for his job, and I was telling him in the car, I said, I really feel like I'm still called to women. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know if I'm supposed to do it. I just feel this, like this nudging from the Holy Spirit that I need to do something. And he was like, you know, I know it when you pray, like you're going to get something. Like, I remember him telling me that. So it was like May 21st. I'm sitting on my couch as a resident director at the time. Okay. I fell asleep and I have this whole dream. It's very vivid. It's like, he was just like, you know, you're going to have this women's ministry. There's an influx of women that are coming. You're going to teach them how to do community and Bible study and all that stuff. And I woke up and I was just like, it's go time.
Yes.
And so I told my girl Ashlyn, and we got it together. And by the next week, we had like 60 girls on a Zoom call who were ready to do community, who didn't want to do life alone and That's wanted so to good. Start that. And so ever since then, that is what I've been doing. But that's the motivation behind that, a dream.
Wow. I think that is so amazing. I think that, you know, our women are in need of a community of women like that. Like I said, I had the pleasure of being a part of the Bible study and being a part of, you know, the groups where women get to, you know, connect outside of just doing the Bible study. And I think that is really important. Like I said, it's very much so needed, especially in the state that we live in. I feel like there's not a lot of community engagement as far as, you know, just connecting with people outside of maybe going to church and things like that. So I encourage you to, you know, just keep pressing. Whatever you feel like you don't have or need, you have it all. I know that you get this encouragement from everybody else, but I think that that is so good. And like I said, from afar that I've been watching, I admire that so much. So
thank you.
No problem. What does passion versus purpose mean to you?
Mm.
Or it's not even a versus situation. You know, what does passion mean and what does purpose mean? If you want to take it like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when I think of passion, I just think of things that maybe like you're excited about or mm-hmm. innate that drive you. Things that you're just like, man, like I know that this is something that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to purpose, this is what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I would spend my life's work doing and living for, mm-hmm. essentially. I think a lot of us have passions, things that are things that just make us like go and tick and, you know, like, and all of those things. But like when you're living in purpose and you're doing what God has called you to do, nothing and no one can dim the light in that area. Mm-hmm. And I think our passions change.
Yeah.
I think passions in some ways are temporary, but purpose is like everlasting. It's like fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I think for me personally, like I know that I will spend my life's work, no matter what I do, freeing people and uncovering people's value and showing them who they really are in Christ.
Wow.
And not allowing them to dim their light. And I think no matter what I do, that's mm-hmm. the purpose behind why I'm doing it. But if you want to talk about like passions or things like that, I think I have a passion for poetry. I have a passion for words. Like, it excites me. I love art. That drives me. But as far as like uncovering people's values, seeing people delivered and set free, like, always going to do that no matter what passion I choose, if that makes sense.
Well, that's so. That's interesting that you said that, because, you know, I know that everyone, especially if you are Christian, you know, your purpose is supposed to be pushing the word of God and, you know, setting people free, like you said, in God. So you believe that your passions fall under the purpose that God, you know, God has given us, instead of, you know, like riding side by side. Because for me personally, I can say this, that I want whatever I do. So like through this podcast, opening people's perspective, whether we agree or disagree or both, but genuinely having dope conversations about whatever the perspective is, I want to make sure that people still see God and grow in God and grow through their mindset. Do you think that that is the same for you, you know, shifting it back to you, like with your poetry and things like that? Or you, like you said, your passions are those things and your purpose is this thing?
Well, I mean, like, I mean, I feel like it's twofold, only because I don't believe that anybody should be married to any said thing.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because it's like, because, okay, prime example. So I used to play basketball. That was something that I thought I was going to do, thought I was going to, like, do it for the rest of my life.
Right.
And when I tore my ACL and I didn't have the opportunity to play in the way that I wanted to anymore, I thought my life was like over and that I, like, what good is there of me? And, you know, all of this stuff. And I think there's a lot of things that we're passionate about. And we should be. Right. I feel like if you have an excitement for podcasting or for speaking, like, why are you really doing it? Right.
Right.
But I think that sometimes our passions can drive us away from the purpose that God is really intending for you to have. And so if I want to just do this one thing and God's like, it's time to shift, you're going to be angry. You're going to be mad. You're going to be upset at him because ultimately it's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
And so I think when we submit our passions to the Lord, we submit our desires, he will begin to uncover, like, this is why I want you to do this thing.
Yeah.
So, like, when I think about, like, poetry per se, which I love and will continue to do probably for the rest of my life, I also understand that if I have to give it up in a season to do something different, the purpose will remain the same, which is to free and to give God glory and to show people and who he is through the words that I use, whether it's a caption, a thread, whether it's me singing, whether it's me doing poetry, the purpose remains when the passion fades. So that's
what good. I'm saying about that. That is so good. I totally agree with everything that you just said. You know, you can't be stagnant in what you're doing right now that you don't give God the ability to allow you to pivot or move or be able to impact the person's life that you're supposed to change. And I said that intentionally, the person that you're supposed to impact.
That's good.
I asked each guest this question that comes on. It's a new question, actually, that comes on the show. Because it's very imperative, but what has been an unfair advantage for you? Something that has happened to you or happened for you in the progression of you, you know, kind of leveling up in life, that you may or may not have told someone before.
Okay, I think one unfair advantage that I might have personally had was in African culture, and this is not to knock my culture because I love it so much, is we are often presented with a couple options of what career path we should take. So that's either like a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer. And so I believed early that that was the only option that I really had. And so I started to pursue a medical career. And the whole time the Lord was like, we're never gonna do that.
Right.
Like, ever. And so I feel like later on in life through me having to fight for what he gave me, it like from the beginning, I feel not like God redeems the time, but I felt like, man, like I feel like I started late. Mm-hmm. If I would have known that, no, you're really like, this is what you're passionate about and this is what you're good at and this is what we're like, in a way, you know, getting you towards, then I would have started the stuff that I'm doing now then. Okay. In a way, I feel like everything's still fine. Mm-hmm. But I would have known what I was called to earlier than later on in life. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So in a positive way, so I know unfair advantage kind of seems like in a negative way, but like in a positive way, you know, to flip it, something that has been like I don't want to say unfair, but like, you know how we say favor is not fair, but like something that personally that in your life that has been like, that ain't fair. You had an advantage over me and that ain't fair. But you know, somebody probably wouldn't say that because like I just said, favor is not fair. So in a positive flip, how have you had an unfair advantage?
In a positive flip. Can you like re-ask the question in a way? I think
so
positive, I think I get lost in a way.
So you know, I'm trying to think how
like a scenario.
Yeah. A scenario I could use. So I guess for myself, I would say, you know, going, because I feel the same way that you just said, you know, I feel like if I knew what I wanted to do a bit sooner, then I would be a little bit more farther in my progression. So yeah, I just graduated with a degree in biology.
Okay.
And I'm just going to pinpoint a position where I was able to launch a rocket into suborbital space. So the unfair advantage that I had was we were able to go to campus 2 weeks early as freshmen to kind of get adjusted to campus, get a couple of classes under our belt. And someone, seeing that I had a NASA shirt on, asked, hey, you have a NASA shirt on. Are you interested in being a part of a program with NASA? And I'm thinking, that has nothing to do with what I'm here to go to school for. You know, you think it's just technology, all of that. But science always has a way to wiggle in, right? Long story short, I was able to get into the program and, like I said, launch a rocket into suborbital space and have a lot of opportunities and doors open because of that. So that would be an unfair advantage as far as my degree goes.
Okay. I'm trying to think
that helps you a little bit. If you don't have one, you don't have one. But I like what you said before.
Okay. No, like, because you said, so basically what you're saying is you had a NASA shirt on, mm-hmm. and then that sparked them getting you into a place that you wanted to be.
Yeah,
right?
Obviously, you have to do the work and all of that to get in there. But me having on the shirt initially was an unfair advantage because there were other people in the hall. They didn't have the shirt on, but he pinpointed me and said, hey, you have that shirt on. Are you interested in learning more about how you could become an intern at NASA, you know?
Okay. So more so like it is giving like favor ain't fair.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Okay. I'll do this. So this is actually recent. So for our honeymoon, we got gifted an opportunity to go to Hawaii.
And oh wow.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we got to go for 2 weeks, and I've never gone on a 2-week vacation in my life. So that was like really nuts. But the crazy thing about it was the original honeymoon that we were supposed to go on, we were supposed to go on a cruise to the Bahamas, and it was right after we got married, and we missed that boat because of a flight delay.
Wow.
So we were in Miami for like 10 days, but the Lord turned it all the way around, because by the time we got to Hawaii, the last week of our trip, Sid and I wanted to go visit a church called Word of Life Hawaii.
Right.
And so we get there on a Wednesday, and on their site basically said they had church, but they didn't have church.
Okay.
So we pull up and we Ubered there, and it's like, come on Sunday. So we walk away And I'm telling Sid, I'm like, hey, we need to go. Like, yeah. We just need to go. Let's get off the property. And he's like, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm just looking at my phone, whatever. I'm like, no, let's go. This man comes out and he sees us. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're going to tell us to get off the property. That's what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah.
And the man comes up to Sid and tells him, hey, I heard that you guys were wanting to come to church tonight. We're so sorry. We're just having a Leeds meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. Is there any way I can take you guys back home? So he takes us back home because at that point my feet were done. I'm like, let's just go home.
Yeah.
So we go, like, he takes us back home, and Sid is very, like, presidential, like, in nature.
Yeah.
Like, he'll always tell you what's going on, all the things. So he told the man how we got there, why we were here, all of the things. And the man, coincidentally, which is really providentially, says, there's a youth service that's happening on that weekend, and mm-hmm. I'll come and pick you guys up.
Wow.
So we're like, okay, great. The people of God are really cool here. You know, we want to check out the climate in Hawaii, and it's great. So the man comes to pick us up. We go to the service on Friday night. We walk in, and it's like, I'm telling you, like 11 to 17 year olds who are like praising the Lord, worshiping him.
Wow.
Like,
that's
speaking
amazing.
In tongues, prophesying. It was like the craziest thing we've ever experienced. It was just like, wow. Because we are in youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And so we see just like where our kids are right now. And we're praying that they would even get to that, you know, place.
Right.
So, the youth service was from like 8 p.m. We got there at 10 p.m. It's a prayer night, and we leave at 1 a.m. The pastors of the church are not supposed to be there. Like, not wow. supposed to be there. It's like another set of pastors who are supposed to be there, but the pastors were there. Their daughter, who me and her become really, really good friends, mm-hmm. she said she's standing there, and her mom, who's the pastor of the church, was like, hey, we're so sorry. We heard you guys were outside, and we just want to say, like, we're sorry about all those type of things. We're like, it's okay. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So Sid is talking to her husband, who's head pastor. I have a conversation with his daughter, and it's great. It's about to be almost like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
We leave the church, and the pastor asked Sid, and I wasn't around, asked Sid, hey, do you think that your wife would be willing to do some spoken word for our church service the next day?
Wow.
And it's 2 a.m. Like, he doesn't know if I can really do poetry for real. He doesn't know me. Like it's crazy. And now Sid is talking to him about, you know, stuff that I've done. But it's like me randomly coming to you. You don't know me. And I'm like, hey, I would love to lead a podcast. It's like, no. So he's like, yeah, I want your wife to come and do poetry. So we go back to the Airbnb, and then Sid tells me that, hey, they asked if you want to do a spoken word. I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, first of all, this church is huge. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. This is crazy. So I'm like, okay, yes. So I talk to the Lord. I figure out what poem I'm going to do. And then, I kid you not, the man comes to pick us up, and we went from regular people just visiting a random church mm-hmm. to we were like the guest speakers for like the next 2 days.
Wow.
So we do a sound check. We do the service. It went really, really well. Me and Sid did something. So I did a poem he sang, and that was unexpected in the first place. Yes. I get down. We go to the green room that they have, and they're giving us merch and books and all of this stuff. So we're just like, okay. So after that, the pastor comes and says, hey, what are y'all doing tomorrow? Now, if you know this in the Christian world, Pentecost Sunday is a big deal. Uh-huh. Like, it's a very, very big deal. So he's like, we thought about it, and we would love for you guys to do our 9 a.m. and our 11 a.m. service.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Like, that's, you know, this is crazy. Now, we had already paid to go on this, like, Circle Island tour to see the island. Mm-hmm. Because we hadn't been able to, like, kind of go hop from all the different islands. So we said, we'll talk about it. So we go home, and we're like, duh, we're going to go to the church. We're going to do the Pentecost Sunday. Of course we're gonna. But it's late at night, and we tell them, like, hey, we're going to come. Mm-hmm. So they come pick us up again. We do a 9 a.m. and we do 11 a.m. service. But in the middle of the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service, this the pastor's assistant comes up to me, and she's like, hey, you know, we had a conversation, and we want to bless you guys, and gives me a W-2.
Wow.
I remind you, we don't know this church. We've only been there for a day. It feels like family.
Wow.
And they want to bless us. Yes. Now, just to give context, earlier in that week, I've been praying because I was like, God, like, you're telling us to live this life of faith. It's getting real hard right now.
Okay? Yeah.
You just told my husband to leave his job. Yeah, well, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are we going to pay stuff? Like, yes, we have a job, but it's like, it's getting tight.
Yeah.
And so I had been like in my own kind of like doubtful zone, but also praying and believing God that something was going to shift. But I didn't know what was going to happen that quickly. And so to know that in between a 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service, this lady hands me a W-2.
Man,
I'm like, what the heck? So I fill it out. The pastor's daughter says to me, she says, hey, we want you and your husband to work the altar. Now, you don't let anybody work the altar unless they really got some oil on them and you trust
doing that. Yeah,
so to know that they trusted us to even work the altar with them was crazy.
That's crazy.
The 11 right. It's like, who does this? No one does this. So at the 11 a.m. service, we're working the altar, and there were two young girls, like two cute Hawaiian little girls, and they came to prayer. And they wanted to have their heavenly language. And so I prayed for both of them, and they both got their heavenly language that day, which was just like crazy in itself. Because I've never been able to, I've not had the opportunity of like ushering like that anointing with someone. So that was like really crazy because they're super young, all the things, like they could not stop.
Yeah.
So after that, my friend's husband looks at me in the service and says, hey, we'll take you wherever you want to go after the service. Because remember, we canceled going to see the island.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't pay that money. And so he's like, we'll take you, you know, to go see the island. And so, like, we're leaving, go to the green room. We say hello to all these people. Like, thank you. You know, they're like, hey, come back. You have a place to stay. All the things. It was really great.
Wow.
So we leave. And when we leave, and I haven't really told anybody the story, so y'all are the first.
Yes.
So we leave, and they take us back to the Airbnb because we're about to go like to North Shore and like go visit and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we open the envelope, and in the envelope, like it was personalized. So the poem that I spoke, they used some of my words to even like formulate, like, thank you for teaching us this and that and that and that and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look, it's like a couple thousand dollars in this envelope that they had blessed us with.
Man, God is good.
I just like, of course I'm crying. I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm just like, man, like one, two, this, I felt unfair. Like while we're going on our honeymoon and we don't know that God is going to bless us. And what makes it so significant is like the same amount, this is how intentionally is the same amount that I had used to even pay the Airbnb was like, it was just returned on the last day.
Wow.
And everything that happened up until we left was so intentional, because if we would have said, oh, we don't want to go to church the next day, that probably would have never happened, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But the fact that we in that moment wanted to make God priority, because we love him. We want to be in the presence. We don't care. That's how we are.
Yeah.
We're like, we just want to be there. God saw us in that moment and blessed our obedience. And it blew my mind. So for me, I feel like I have had, that story significant because that's recent. But I feel like in the last 3 years of like leaving jobs and having to just rely and trust, I have other stories that one day I pray to share with people, but like that have happened to me and shit, like in your natural eye, this is not supposed to happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have those type of moments, like when you leave certain things or even when you're the one that gets fired from the job and you're just like, how is it that God, you still are going to bless me? Like, you're still going to look out for me. You still care about me, you know? So at the end of the day, his plans, his purpose, like they prevail when you're literally, even when you are faithless, literally in Timothy, it says that he's faithful. And I got to experience his faithfulness, even when I was doubting, even when I was losing my mind, even when I didn't feel like he was going to come through. He's just literally, his favor has been endless. And now we have a connection in Hawaii that I never thought.
That is Yeah, that's the true definition of favor is not fair. And it goes back to our point that we made earlier about being obedient and not saying, I think maybe. No, doing it right now, doing it when God says do it, going when you don't even know like the amount of blessings. You don't know what he'll do in the moment, you know, from one moment to the next. He can shock you. And that's exactly what it sounded like. But, you know, we're wrapping up here. Like I said, I've been enjoying this conversation. I have, you know, a few more questions, but I've been enjoying this conversation. I hope everybody that's listening has been enjoying this conversation and intentionally, you know, writing down things that stick out to you or rewinding and listening again, because, you know, Deanne, she is full of knowledge. She's full of wisdom, grace, so many things that I could say about her, but it's just, this has been, you know, more impactful than I could even ever imagine. And I'm grateful that, you know, she's on the show. But let's get back to this question.
You're so sweet.
The closer you are getting with God, and I use getting purposefully, because I feel like there's no end to the level of closeness that you can have with God. But yeah. The closer you are getting with God, what has he revealed to you about yourself?
About myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the closer that I've gotten to God, he started to reveal to me that I'm even more powerful than I think that I am.
Mm.
And I think he's even showed me another level of my own identity with him.
Wow.
Like, man, like, I think, you know, when you start your journey with God, there's always humility throughout the entire journey, but you're at a place where you're like, man, I don't think I can do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. I don't know. Like, and he keeps on reminding you and keeps on telling you and things like that. But as I get closer and as I start to realize what his Holy Spirit like has come to do,
mm-hmm.
I now know that I have access to power. I have access to authority. I can say a thing and it comes to pass. Like,
wow.
I don't just walk past situations. I am the answer to the situation.
Come on.
And it's because he's put himself in me. And that's what, like, I am dedicated to showing women now is that, no, like, you should get to a point, like, you can pray for yourself.
Yeah.
You can fight for yourself.
Yeah.
You can pray for your neighbor. You can take authority at your job. Like, don't allow anyone to make you feel like you don't have power, because he gave it to us. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Like, he wants to blind us to the fact that when Jesus ascended, he left the Holy Spirit to give us power and authority.
Yes.
Dominion was given in Genesis. Like,
yeah,
we already have dominion.
Yeah.
And so now that we have the Holy Spirit,
yes,
we can walk and say and command,
yes,
and believe things that seem impossible to other people, and we can have. So as I get closer, that's what I see. That's what I start to see about myself. Like, no, like, you're not just some random girl or that God just chose. Like, no, he chose you on purpose.
Yes.
You will be used by him.
Yes.
And you will bring others the knowledge of his saving grace. And so use your power, use your authority. And so that's what I want other women, other men too. Like, use what you got. It's there.
Yeah.
So use it.
Yes. That is so good. Yes. You have the power. It lies within you. God gave it to you. What do you have coming up next?
Wow. Okay. So I just launched my mentoring / like coaching services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm really, really, really excited about, because I recognized, it was like literally like in the last couple of weeks, people have been asking me like, do you do mentoring? Do you do one-on-ones? Like, do you just do, you know, these chats?
Mm-hmm.
And my whole life, people have wanted to sit down with me or have a conversation, or I want to befriend you. And I didn't know how to like handle it at first. I'm like, oh, am I supposed to be friends with all these people? Oh, no, you're not supposed to be with all these people. Not everyone's your best friend. Like, what is this? And so as I've been reading this book by Darius Daniels called Relational Intelligence, I've recognized like everyone's a different category. So there's friends, there's advisors, you know what I mean? There's mentees, like all of the things. And so I have now launched a program to be able to not only like spiritual advise people and to mentor people, kind of like what we did today. Like you're asking these questions and I'm going to be able to walk alongside of people and give them accountability and homework and resources from a personal standpoint, instead of being the big body like United is on Wednesdays. I want to be able to provide that for other people personally who want to have that with me. And then the other two tiers of the services, if there is somebody that wants to build their own community and create their own community, I've done it. I've done several things. And so I would love to walk alongside people to show them how to create their own communities and sustain it and maintain it and bring other people into the vision that God gave them. Because if God's called them to that, he will provide for what they desire. And then the last thing is writing and speaking. So that's my bread and butter. It's what been doing for my whole life at this point. And so I want to be able to help people develop their own voices and their own style and figure out what their niche is, and then also be able to write their own original pieces. So creating like prompts, helping people develop their own books, so they can publish as well. And so those are things that I'm very excited about and currently working on. So book me, people, when you hear this. And then some things that are also coming up down the pipeline. I'm doing a retreat. It's called Come Away With Me. It's October 5th through the 7th in Dallas, Texas. And so in this retreat, I know I'm very excited. I'm very excited to do this. My first like ever real retreat. But in the retreat, it's called Come Away With Me. And so in Luke, it talks about how Jesus often retreated to be with his father. And I think, especially in the day and age that we're in, is that we're attracted to grind. We're attracted to busy. We don't know what a Sabbath is. We don't know what it means to quiet ourselves, like I'm talking about earlier. And so I want to be able, even because I'm learning it too, is to learn and to teach people how to have those quiet times, how to build a relationship, and how to do it in community. Because the enemy wants to isolate you too. And when it wants to keep you away from community. And so this retreat is the purpose of that. And so I'm hoping to continue like doing that more and more for people so that they can learn about God and do it, you know, from do it in a way that is healthy for sure. And so I got some people literally coming from Houston and Cali and all the things. So I'm very, 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 very excited about that. And then let me see. I have some stuff. I know, like, once I get dates to this, I'll be able to talk about it. But more so just, like, I know I'll have, like, more spoken word things coming up, more events coming up. And I'm currently working on a book right now, too. So be on the lookout for that as well. Because it's time. It's time for us to get on that train.
It is. Yes, it is. Okay, so if you can leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
If I could leave y'all with one thing, I think I would just encourage you to know who you are in God. And as you know who you are in God, he'll begin to show you what you're called to. Because there's a lot of things that we want to do, but we don't know what we're called to. And we're getting burnt out and we're getting tired and we're getting stressed out doing everybody else's stuff or even stuff that looks cool, especially the social media. If you go on and you look at TikTok and all the things, you see everyone doing 1,000 things. And the whole time you're just like, I need to be doing this so I can get this bag and, and all of this stuff. But it's like, no, if you want to, play the long game, sit with God long enough for him to tell you what you're called to. And it's going to change your life because things are going to become easier. Doors are going to open. People are going to be tied to your vision and they're going to support you along the way. And then I also will say, alongside of like the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, is like, I hope and pray, my prayer is that you would know how powerful that you are. And how gifted and anointed that you are. And I want you to come into that power. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is with you to edify you, to comfort you, to build you up so that you can bless people in your home, with your friends in your at your job. Like, there's so many people that need the power that you have, and so don't dim your light. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes, that is so good, guys. I like to say, you know, it's just a slight shift in your perspective. My quote is, change your mind to change your life. But like Deanne said, know who you are in God and allow him to use you in whatever space that you are in your life. Whether it is, you know, you feel like you're in lack right now, God can use you in whatever season of life you're in. That's all I want to say. I'll leave it at that. Where can the people find you?
Yes, guys. So you can find me at The Lady Deanne on Instagram, TikTok. It's still Deanne Brody Menz on Facebook. And then on YouTube, it's The Lady Deanne as well. Threads, The Lady Deanne. I know we just started that.
Yes.
And then my website is www.theladydeanne.com on there as well. And yeah, my mentorship services are literally linked to my link tree, and so I can like send it to you guys as well. But yes, Lady Deanne on everything.
That is so amazing, guys. Please stay connected with Deanne. Some messages that real quick I just want to touch on again because I think that they're really important and needed. Quiet yourself enough so that you can hear God. If you are feeling lukewarm, ask yourself, do you love God in the first place to submit yourself to him? Your real life is hidden in Christ. I didn't say it when she said it, but that one, that's a whole bar in itself. Your real life is hidden in Christ. And if you didn't know, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Ms. Deanne, I've enjoyed this conversation more than you would ever know. I'd say please keep your perspective because it definitely looks good on you guys. Check her out at The Lady Deanne pretty much everywhere. Or Deanne Brody Menz, like you said, on Facebook. Yeah, I enjoyed this conversation and I can't wait for everything that she has in store. I'm definitely, as a person that is tuned in and going to support, going to be checking out everything that she has coming. Especially, I'm super excited for the book. I'm super excited for everything that you have, but I feel like you putting your words on the page, I think that's going to be one to read for sure, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I love y'all. Peace.